Lehren, Lernen, Lauschen. Der Lehrer eine Stimme geben. Persönliche Gespräche mit Vertreterinnen und Vertretern der TU Graz, die uns in ihre Welt der Lehre einladen, über ihre Motivation und auch Herausforderungen berichten. So today I want to welcome Melina Amor from the Institute of Material Physics in our studio. Nice to meet you here.
Thank you, Katharina, for the invitation.
Thank you for being here with us today. So today it's the first podcast in English and we give it a try. But I'm starting, like always, asking you to introduce yourself briefly.
So as you say, my name is Melina Amor. I'm a molecular biologist. I'm currently affiliated to the Institute of Material Physics here at TU Graz because I have my teaching duties associated to that institute. And besides these teaching duties, I'm also working at the Medical University of Graz at the Institute of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology.
And how did you come to our university? What's your way to Austria?
Yes, so I came for PhD. I finished my PhD at the Medical University of Vienna. And then I was looking for a postdoc position, more or less in the same field than my PhD. I got to know Juliane Wagner-Strauss and I came for postdoc at her laboratory. After that, Juliane left because she went into politics. And I had she gave me the possibility to take over some of her teaching duties. And that's why I came into teaching at TU Graz.
Okay, and what's your field of research and teaching at our university?
So my field of research is obesity and metabolic complications associated to obesity and fat tissue. I'm also working on cardiovascular diseases. And at TU Graz, I was initially teaching molecular biology. I was also teaching another course for master students of biomedical engineer that is called molecular diagnostics. And I'm also teaching a third course, which is the course that I'm currently teaching now that is called biomaterials.
Okay, and how many students are in those courses and are there lectures or laboratories?
Well, the course which I start with, this molecular biology or molecular biology, was a course for bachelor students on the first year. So I had really a lot of students, about 100 students per semester. And then in the two other courses, are for master students. So then the number is significantly reduced, I will say. And they are about 20 students per semester. For molecular diagnostics, we had lectures and also laboratories. And for biomaterials, it's only a lecture.
And can you tell me, do you prefer giving a lecture or having a laboratory, if you prefer one of those?
Well, that's a very hard question to answer. I really like teaching and I like things from lectures and things from laboratories. So yeah, I will say I like both at the same. Yeah, they both have things that I like.
You also were awarded with the Prize for Excellence in Teaching at Graz University of Technology. For which lecture did you get this award?
I got this award for Molecular Diagnostics Laboratory.
And can you tell us a little bit about your didactic approach in this lecture?
Actually, it was, I had a didactic plan, let's say, but it was a bit complicated because I started with the laboratory and 1 year after Corona came, and running laboratories in the middle of the pandemic was a bit challenging. However, I really tried to perform the course from a pretty much student-centered approach. I really tried to put students at the core of all didactic decisions. And this means that I consider diversity of students. I consider, of course, inclusion, sustainability, and accessibility also. And with Corona, of course, digitalization.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about those aspects you're having in your lectures? So diversity it was, inclusion, sustainability, digitalization.
Yes.
What's the most interesting part for you?
I think all of them are nowadays very important. I will say with the corona situation, maybe digitalization became extremely important and helped us a lot as teachers to overcome many challenges that we faced during the pandemic. But of course, taking into account diversity is very important. So for instance, in order to consider diversity when I teach, I try to offer the students a wide diversity of pedagogical strategies, different type of activities, different type of evaluations, where everybody is able to demonstrate the achieved learnings in the best way they can, let's say so.
You also have different types of evaluation or feedback in your course. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I really try to use evaluation as an educational practice rather than a measure at the end of the course. And I think this is very important when we think about evaluation. What I used to do is to make initial evaluations, so at the beginning of the semester, to see where the students are standing and to bring all of them, so to diagnose where they are standing and to bring all of them to the same level of knowledge, kind of, or to start from the same starting point. Then I have middle evaluations where I try to track how the students are going during the semester. And then, for instance, in the laboratory, we have an end evaluation or summative evaluation at the end where the students can demonstrate in different ways what the results they got, what they would like to discuss from the laboratory, and so on. And maybe when we talk about evaluation, I would also like to mention that I think it's not a minor point, the evaluations that the students make of the course. So I think it's very important that they evaluate the course by the system or by TU grads online. So I always, or I used to do also evaluation at the middle of the course where I see where, if the students are satisfied with the course or not. And if not, we still have time to change, because I think that is quite unfair when we get feedback at the end and the course is over and then we cannot change anything for those students. So I think it's very important to make a middle term evaluation where we see how satisfied they are with the course, if they would like to change something or.
And you're having the middle term evaluation with the TU Graz tool or with another tool?
So you know the TU Graz tool is only available at the end of the course, but they can complete it only once as far as I know. Then I can use it at the middle or after 2/3, but I cannot use it at the end because once they submit. So yeah.
And you want to use it also at the end?
Yes. So what I used to do is just a feedbacker at the middle of the course.
Okay, that's a reason. About 2 weeks ago, we had a lecture for lecturer session. And you also mentioned that at the end of the course, you're having the TU Graz evaluation and most of the students are answering on your evaluation. And you mentioned that you have a good return rate from your students. How do you manage that?
Well, as I said, I think this is the evaluation complete by the students is an extremely important point for us as teachers. So what I simply do is to follow the indications from the TU grad, which is explicitly ask the students to complete the evaluation. And I give them like 5 or 10 minutes during the last lecture to do it. And besides that, I also explicitly tell them that they have to be used to evaluate, that this is part of the somehow construction of their professional profile, let's say. They have to get used to evaluate and not to be evaluated all the time. So this is what I tell them. I think that works pretty good. And they immediately complete the evaluation of the course and they really, so almost 100% do it. Maybe I have 90% because there was somebody who was not there in the last lecture. And then I also write them an email reminding them to complete it. However, there is always one or two who don't complete it, but it works very well. And what I also do is to tell them that they should please criticize the course, tell us which things are to be improved. and not that they should do it like quick and say everything is good and very nice and yeah, and that's it. So that those are the points that I consider when I kind of motivate them to complete this online evaluation. And I do also the same for this middle term evaluation.
You also mentioned that sustainability is very important in your courses. What do you mean with sustainability?
I think sustainability in teaching can be addressed from different perspectives, especially when we talk about natural sciences or technical, more technical subjects. From my understanding, when I come with sustainability in teaching, what I try is that the students really take something for them. They really take something from the course, either like work related or academically related, or also for their personal lives, so that the course really has a print, like a footprint on them. Besides that, when I talk about teaching in a sustainable way in natural sciences, especially in biology or biomedical sciences, I think it's very important to make the students aware of the use of resources that we use in the lab, for instance, plastic waste, for instance, animal studies and stuff like that. So I think it's very important to make them aware of ethical issues, environmental issues.
And do you have the feeling that the awareness for sustainability raised in the last years?
I think yes, for sure. I think pretty much I can see, or at least, so I'm not that old. So when I think when I was a PhD student or when I was an undergraduate student, I think we were not that aware of sustainability in general. But now I see the students much more aware. And I think this is a great thing.
That's what a lot of people are saying. What is very interesting also from your Teachers for Teachers session is where you came from and your way to Austria from South America.
Starting right from the beginning, I'm from Argentina. I study molecular biology in Argentina for bachelor's and master's. And then I went to New Zealand for master thesis. And after that, I applied for PhD position in Vienna, and I was sure I wanted to come to Europe for PhD, and I applied like in Austria and also in Germany, and I got the PhD position in Vienna, and that's how I ended up in Austria. And maybe it's also interesting for this podcast, I come from a family of teachers. Yeah, I was, besides my, let's say, scientific career, I was always pretty much interested and also motivated by my family to go into teaching. So I always try to keep those or both things running somehow in parallel in my life. And I really try to find the balance. And it's not like, I know for some people, maybe research is like a primary thing and then teaching is like a secondary thing that they do on the side. But for me, which is fine, you know, it's like, it's totally fine. But in my case, it's really, I try to keep a balance and I really try to have both things at the same priority level, let's say.
So for the scientific part of your work, you went to university, you studied that, but how did you improve your teaching? How did you learn how to teach? How did you learn what didactics means? What is inclusion and diversity in a lecture?
So as I told you, I was always interested in teaching. So when I was studying in Argentina, I studied molecular biology and biochemistry, but I also studied the teaching education program in biology. So it was really from the beginning of my studies that I was always educating myself into teaching. And after this, after I complete this teaching education program.
So it's a program after which you could work in a school?
Yes, so you get like a lot of like didactics, pedagogics, history of education and so on, and also of course the technical, the more technical subjects. after that, I was always trying, whenever I had the possibility to further develop my teaching, I was always taking a course. For instance, here at UGRADS, I really took advantage of all courses that are available for teachers. For instance, I took part of the Teaching Academy. I also participate in this Didactic Werkstatt. I also complete the eDidactics program. So I'm always there registering for every single course that is offered for teaching. Yeah, but I have to say, I don't have the feeling that I'm disturbing everybody here at TU Graz. It's very nice and very happy to help when it comes to teaching. I could mention, in first place, I think I have to mention Verena Schweiger, but then I also, all the people here from the learning technologies, for instance, Maria Haas from the Teach Center, and of course you, Katarina, that you are always there, and all your team for organizing events for teaching where we can exchange ideas, get to know other teachers and exchange experiences and so on. So I'm always really trying to, even though in terms of hours, I'm researching much more than teaching, I'm also somehow compensating because I also take a lot of courses.
You also mentioned the eDidactics program. I think we should call it a program because it's a bigger one. Could you tell us something about that?
Yeah, the first thing I can mention is that I strongly recommend it. It was an excellent program. It was very nice because, in first place, I think the nicest thing of the eDidactics program is that you get to know teachers from other universities from completely different fields, and this makes it very rich, I will say. And then the content of the courses are like simply amazing. I was really, really happy. I learned a lot. So I think it was a great experience. For me, it was the first time that I started taking courses in German. All the courses are in German. So at the beginning, I was a bit skeptical to register, but also for all the non-German speakers, I can also recommend it to do it because all people are very open. They also let me to submit some tasks in English. So it was very flexible. But I can also say that was also a lot of work. It was really demanding. It was not just taking a course. There are always some duties that or a task that you have to complete and so on. So yeah, it's highly recommendable and very, very nice.
And the next question is also a question I am asking everybody who is here. What brings you the most joy in teaching? What contributes positively to your motivation and to your commitment in teaching?
So I think there are several components that motivate me to teach. In first place, I will say for sure the students. Yeah, I have to say they are, or those great young minds are motivate us a lot and are a big part of this motivation to teach. And in line with this, I would also like to say that it's very motivated when we get positive feedback regarding the course from the students. Second, I will say my colleagues who are always there for an advice when it comes to teaching issues, and it's nice to meet them and to exchange ideas with them in all those events that are organized here at TU Graz, for instance. I also think that all those courses that are offered by TU Graz are also a big motivational components when it comes to how to improve our teaching, and I also pretty much appreciate them. And then, so I would say those are like general things that motivate me for teaching. And personally, I have to say that I come from a family of teachers. Therefore, in my case, my whole family is also a motivational component into teaching. I always exchange ideas, for instance, with my sister or my mom, and we discuss about things that happen during teaching. This is very motivating.
And do you have a moment in mind which was particularly memorable for you?
It does not come to my mind one particular moment as the most memorable one. However, I think that is very special when we have the feelings, and again, in relation to sustainability, that the student get something from us that is really useful for their life. And this happened to me in some specific occasions very explicitly, let's say. And this is very, very, or this was very, very nice. And also, the other way around, I pretty much enjoy your familiar, pretty memorable moments when I learn something from the students, which actually happens to me very often. And in line with this, maybe I would like to mention that I really believe that teaching and learning goes in both directions between the teacher and the students.
And what is challenging for you in teaching?
So I think that teaching is already a very challenging task. I used to say that our students are always the same age and we get 1 year older every year. That fact makes it already very challenging. Now I think I'm still young, but the years come and we are always getting like 1 year older and they are always about 20, 21, 22, 23. And this makes it challenging. And then, so after these facts, that for me is the most challenging one, we have all the context that constantly challenges us. For instance, the most recent example regarding the context was the pandemic. But we also have to take into account other important topics in regarding the context. For instance, as I mentioned, digitalization or sustainability, accessibility, diversity, gender issues, all those are things that make the whole teaching very, very challenging to bring all of this together. And I think in order to deal with all those challenges, probably the most important thing is to constantly educate ourselves as teachers by taking courses, exchanging ideas with our colleagues, and also very important, listening to our students.
So what tip would you have for others, for other teachers?
Well, in line with what I have mentioned before, I would always suggest to take advantage of all this great support that we have here at UGRAD and actively participate in the different courses for teaching. As I mentioned, the Teaching Academy, the didactic program, the didactic workshops, and also all those spaces for get to know other teachers, exchange ideas, experiences, and so on. But besides that, I think when we think of university teaching, we also have to think that university teaching is closely linked to research. Therefore, I think it is crucial to incorporate in our courses science dissemination activities that link our teaching exercises with also our research interests. So I think for us as also teachers, but also researchers, and is teaching is also a very good opportunity to open the doors of our laboratory or our institute and try to disseminate our science beyond the scientific community. And I also think that is when it comes more to the didactics aspects of teachings, maybe I will like to highlight that I think as a tip, it's very important to set very clear and realistic teaching and learning outcomes at the beginning. Always keep coherence between what we teach and what we later on evaluate. Also give our students an active role during the whole teaching and learning process. I think we also should motivate our students and all in all, as I mentioned at the beginning, bring our students in the core of all our didactic decisions, considering things that we already talked, accessibility, diversity, and gender issues, among others.
You already mentioned the pandemic and Corona, and also that you started teaching a laboratory in the middle of the pandemic. Could you tell us something about how teaching was implemented and what were your practices, what were your learnings?
So as I mentioned, when the Corona situation broke up, it was very stressy for me, I guess for many others as well. But in my case, I was in the middle of the laboratory with a lot of students, and even many of them were Erasmus students who could not wait for the next semester to complete the course because they had to go. So on one hand, I was pretty much lost, I have to say. But on the other hand, I tried to be patient and stay calm. So I think at the end, we all managed to deal with the situation and we also learned a lot from it. In my case, or in the case of the laboratories, we just had to wait, and as soon as it was possible, we completed. But for in the case of the lectures, was completely different, and I mainly did it from home. Yeah, when or regarding teaching from home, I would like, or if I would have to describe the situation of teaching from home, I would like to shortly refer to three aspects of teaching that to me dramatically change while teaching from home. And those were the idea of time and spaces, the contents that we teach, and the weight of technology in teaching. So regarding time and space, I could clearly recognize like a collapse in the differentiation of spaces during the pandemic. Suddenly we have a multifunctional house, and our house was a university, our house was a laboratory, our house was an institute, our house was a classroom, our house was an office. So yeah, I think this maybe is for me the most important regarding pandemia and spaces. Then in relation to the times, I also identified some aspects that we did not observe before and somehow challenged us. For example, sometimes the number of students that were connected were much lower than expected, or some students have difficulties to connect to the online classes. And those were somehow erratic or unexpected moments that play a role in the timing of our classes. In relation to the, maybe to the content that we teach within this context of pandemia, sometimes we had to make priorities and select those contents that were the most important ones. Maybe before we had somehow more time to develop all contents that we wanted to teach, and in pandemia, we really had to prioritize content somehow. And also regarding to time, we realized, or at least me, how much time consuming was to prepare online classes, something that I completely underestimate before. And last, regarding the weight of technology, I think it was enormous. And at least for me, digitalization did not have such a weight in my teaching before the pandemic. However, it will for sure now stay, I think, and we also learn a lot.
So what did you take with you from the pandemia? So what stayed? What did you develop within the pandemia? What didactic approach maybe, or what new tool did you develop? And is there something going to stay?
Yeah, I think for everybody, the most important thing that we could incorporate in our teaching because of pandemia was, or what we learned, was to be flexible. And I think being flexible, it's pretty much related with inclusion, with accessibility, especially, let's say. So I think I learned to be more flexible regarding the technologies and the digital teaching. Of course, I learned a lot of tools that I had no clue that they exist before the pandemic. And I could really see that students really enjoy using those tools, and for sure, some will stay.
You also were awarded for the Prize for Excellence in Teaching. What significance does that prize have for you?
So for sure, a lot of motivation, I would say, in the first place. As I say, I was always very interested for teaching, and I always tried to do it in the best way that is possible. But I would say this prize was for sure an extra boost in terms of motivation to try to make my teaching every time better and better. However, besides the motivation, I also have to say that it meant a lot of learnings. First, during this selection process, we had to sit and write a teaching concept. And even though the course was already organized, writing this teaching concept helped me to reorganize and also rethink about the course. And so, for instance, to think about how could I further develop the course, or how I could improve the course. Later on, after we got the prize, we were also invited by TU grads to submit our teaching concept for other prizes. And all those applications also helped me to sit, rethink my teaching, read and learn a lot. So I would say it was a very big motivation, and also a lot of learnings came with it.
Thank you for that insight. And finally, I'm going to ask you to finish the following sentence from your perspective. Teaching means to me?
Teaching means to me a lot. And I will probably, or I could make this sentence very long, but I will try to make it short and to the point. So teaching means to me learning.
Thank you, Melina, for being here today and to give us an insight into your world of teaching and learning.
Thank you, Katharina, for the invitation again.
Lehren, lernen, lauschen.